That's a good hymn, isn't it? Sometimes it would be nice if the Heavenly Father would just reach down there and grab you by the hand and say, let's go this way. You know, and make sure he's got you by that there. We're going to be on page number 40 and lesson number 8 this evening. We have 12 lessons in this study. We're on lesson 8, so we're getting most of the way through it tonight. We had some good time, a good preaching, good fellowship there in Pensacola. Appreciate the church letting us go, being a part of that. It's always an encouragement and a help. I'm getting old. I had one of my knees go out. So I can't wait till my grandkids say, what happened to your knee, Pop? And I say, well, I was surfing. We were in Florida, so I got a surfboard. I went out and was surfing. And as I looked over, I saw this big shark coming for me trying to take a bite. And I kicked him right in the nose, and it put my knee out. And now, let me ask you this. There's that story, or I could just say, I actually was in bed sleeping. I just rolled over, and my knee went out. Which one's more exciting? The first one? And the last one's more true. We're not looking for truth tonight, young lady. Right here. All right. It is good to see everybody. And make sure you get ready for that 98-degree weather on Sunday. Those people that have a tendency to say they're cold, it's going to be warm out there Sunday. So be 50 in here. It's going to be 98 outside. Step number 7 for cultivating daily delight. Isn't that an interesting title? Is that what prayer is, or is that what prayer should be? Is it a daily delight? The verse that we have looked at all the way through is Matthew 26:40. What could you not watch with me? How long? 1 hour. Think about this for just a second. This is not in your notes. Jesus is asking the disciples back then. The question has been inspired by the writer Matthew to put down, and it's been preserved to our day here. And the question has not changed. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Do you realize that the disciples nearly 2,000 years ago had the exact same amount of hours in their week as we still do today? You and I have 168 hours in a week, all right? That's a lot of time, 168 hours in a week. We have 24 hours in one day, correct? Let's just be average. If we have 24 hours in one day and you sleep, let's just say you do. I know as you get older, it's hard to stay in bed. You sleep for 8 hours on average. Whether you sleep through the night or whether you make it halfway through the day and you pass out for another 2 hours, it doesn't matter. You sleep for 8 hours on average. You're awake doing things for another 8 hours. What are we doing with the other 8 hours? What? Could you not watch with me just 1 hour? I'm not trying to take away from your sleep. I'm not trying to take away from your work day. But there's 8 hours that are over here somewhere. Have you ever gone on your phone? That one older lady sat right on the front row. And she goes, the preacher done gone from preaching to meddling. Started getting on her. What are we? I mean, I'm asking myself that. What's going on in that other 8 hours that we are not cultivating daily delight in that 1 hour? Someone said that the more that you pray, the more you'll see answered. give you an idea, when I was reading a book, it was on George Mueller. And somebody, when George Mueller died, George Mueller was known for having orphanages. And his whole philosophy is that he believed that God heard prayer and answered prayer. He never, ever went to anybody and said, hey, we have a need at the orphanage, and hope that they might be moved to do it. He believed that he could say, God, we have a need at the orphanage, and you know what that need is, and that God would move upon people to come to him and say, hey, we've been prompted by God to come in, and we want to give you that. And so he journaled everything. This guy was a journalist, big time. When he died at the age of 93, and he had all these stacks of journals that one of his friends took and brought home, and they got together and they started going through his journals, counting, because he recorded, if you read his autobiography, it's actually him saying, I'm praying for this need today, and he puts the date on it, and then he puts the answer when it was answered down below. They counted, and they quit counting at over 53,000 recorded answers to prayer. That is a lot. That's not an exaggeration. They quit counting at 53,000 that he had recorded, that he had prayed for this, and he recorded when this was answered. You cannot have 53,000 prayers and not get an answer, amen? Pray without ceasing. Step number 7, last week John filled in, appreciate that, Brother John. Last lesson, excuse me, our prayer was on intercession, praying for others. This week is on petition. Step 7 in your blank is petition. If you were one of my children when they were little in homeschool, and I was giving you this as a spelling test, I would let you know that your spelling word today is petition. Pet, I, tie on. And Elise would go, oh, okay. Pet, I can spell pet. I was a pretty easy teacher when we homeschooled. But they all did well. I did most of everything when we were young. Taught school, worked. Althea ate chocolate mints, those Andes mints, and had her hot tea. Get back to here, all right. She said she wanted to hear truth, right? Anyway, all right. They're sitting there going, he is back. They said he was coming back. Oh, man. Basic definition. Here you go. The act of personal supplication. There's your blank. The basic definition is, when we talk about petition, it's the act of personal supplication. Now, understand what supplication means in this setting. It literally means to ask humbly and earnestly. You are sincere and honest about, you have a genuine need that you're bringing to the God who invites you to come and cast all your cares upon him, those things that concern you. The action focus is personalized desires. There's your next blank. Personalized desires. If anybody forgot their handout, I've got two of them for this lesson here if anybody needs one. Back there at the back. The sisters have messed up. Yeah. Junior has his. Good job, Junior. Debbie has hers. Good job, Debbie. Now, did anybody need these by any chance? I'm sorry, I'm being mean, aren't I? I might have my knee go out after walking all the way back there. Personalized desires. Now, the key word here, this is important here, because we're talking about petition. You now are petitioning God, not on the behalf of somebody else, but on your own behalf for your desires. And so here's the key word, is expectation. If the Bible makes it clear, if you come to him not believing that he's going to hear you, he's not going to give you. Correct? Expectation. We go into, and you, this is not in your notes, but if you go off to the side and put in brackets Psalm 5, I think it's verses 1, 2, and 3, where he says, give ear to my words. He's praying. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayers unto thee. And he says, and will look up. He's looking up with an expectancy to hear God answer his request by moving and directing and whatever that need was. One brother said this, I would not ask. This is kind of simple. Listen to this. I would not ask if I didn't expect anything to happen. That's pretty simple, isn't it? They that come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We're talking about petition, personal supplication, personalized desires. Look what it says. Charles Spurgeon says this, famous preacher back in the day. Whether we like it or not, asking is the rule of the kingdom. It is a rule that will never be altered in anybody's case. If the royal and divine Son of God cannot be exempted from the rule of asking that he may have, you and I cannot expect to have the rule relaxed in our favor. So even when God, think about this, even when God became a man, and as a man, he had needs, he had to go to the Father and ask for those needs. He wasn't exempt from that. Petition, a biblical basis. Here's a scripture. Luke 11, verse 9 and 10. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So you have ask, seek, and knock. And if you take the first letter of each of those words, you spell the word ask. Ask, seek, and knock is the word ask. Now, it's interesting. You might want to circle. There's three different times in those two verses where one little word comes up. And you might want to circle the word it. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Knock, and it shall be opened. For he that knocketh, it shall be opened. So we see here that the word it here is what he's referencing in our praying as something that's very important. That it represents what you're asking for. Look what he says here in our next verse here in Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. That's what Mark is recording. I read this here, actually a few weeks ago. I thought I'd tie in, go with what we're studying. He says, perhaps our world today is on the greatest quest for prayer it has ever seen. And the reason why I wrote this down, because I'm thinking about our prayer maps. So perhaps our world is on the greatest quest for prayer as it ever has seen. And if so, we are on the way to the greatest harvest this world has ever seen. And I, for myself, want to be a part of it. Don't quit praying. Don't lay aside and put off. I'll tell you what, it only takes one time to put off and it will multiply. And you'll realize, man, I haven't done that in a while. I have been messing up. Actually, I haven't been messing up. I actually, according to the Bible, says I have sinned because I haven't continued to pray. So here we see, he says, there's something great happening, and I don't want to miss out on it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 16, and then verse number 19. He says, be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care. Don't be anxious. Y'all ever get anxious? Anybody here get full of care and anxiety? How many of you here violate that at least every once in a while? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Let your request be made known unto God. The next area we have here is summary definition of petition. Remember, we're asking for ourselves. The blank is, it's a real simple one, a time to ask. That's all it is, a time to ask. The voice of the past, E. Stanley Jones, he was a missionary to India. And he says, asking is the symbol of our desire. Some things, this is interesting, some things God will not give until we want them enough to ask. Here is a quote from, we don't know who this is, we are careful to ask with a beggar's humility, to seek with a servant's carefulness, and to knock with the confidence of a friend. Pretty interesting. Careful to ask with a beggar's humility, to seek with a servant's carefulness, and to knock with the confidence of a friend. The petition is giving us a prayer application. And that is, what you're doing here is you're sharing personal needs. Share personal needs. How many of you could testify tonight by an amen that you have personal needs tonight that you would like God to answer? Convince me. When we were at Pensacola, one of our favorite preachers is Kenny Baldwin. If I could get him to come, it would be wonderful. That guy is a powerful, powerful preacher. But he gets going. I mean, he gets going. And he'll get going and he'll say, "Come on, somebody help me preach." He wants people to get involved, man, and get going, you know. And he is so good. Anyway, everybody has a need here, or needs, probably. Look at what it says here. Clarence Crawford, he wrote a book back in 1946. It's still available today. The Devotional Life of a Christian Leader. And on the area on prayer, listen to what he says. Do you want to take the sting out of trouble? Take it to God and pray it through. Don't just say, "Lord, help me," but pray through the situation. Analyze it, take it apart, Bring it to God piece by piece. Verbalize to God the fact that you are hurting, you are in trouble, you are scared, you are in danger, or your world has fallen in upon you. Let him know every single detail. And by the way, he already does. And I'll make mention of that here in just a second. Now, that's the prayer application. Just share your personal needs. Have you ever thought about this? Just think for just a second. Remember that 8 hours that we're trying to figure out what we're doing with? The other eight were sleeping, the other eight were working, and that other eight that's out there floating. We can sit down and talk with people about temporal things for hours that have no value at all when it's all said and done. And Jesus is still asking the question, Kevin, could you not watch with me and pray with me 1 hour? I'll guarantee you, when you and I, as believers, we don't have to worry about being judged for our sins, amen? But we will stand before him one day. And I think there will be a little bit of shame. Matter of fact, I think there might be a whole lot of shame that we didn't do what we could have done. And one of those things is simply just spending time talking with him. I mean, he's not just saying, hey, when you get a chance, or if I'm not too busy, I'll listen. He has said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, cast all your cares. Why? Because I really do care for you. And the list could go on and on and on. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. You know, we're going to be getting into one of these areas, well, we actually already did, on using Scripture to pray. And we can go through and we can study these binders out, and you never, ever make application. Never change our prayer life. You see, it's not the knowledge that makes us spiritual, it's the application that makes us spiritual. And you can start taking a passage of Scripture like Jeremiah 33:3 and say, this is part of my prayer, Lord. You said here that I'm to call upon you and that you will show me great and mighty things. Lord, I'm calling upon you. I have this situation here. You know the circumstances. You know the people that are involved. And I need you, Lord, to do something great and mighty that I want to see, something that I want to be able to visualize happen. And he's, because you said, I will show you. In order for him to show us, we have to have eyes to see. He says, I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'll do more than what you're even hoping to be done. But they that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Petition is a life application. Here is your practical prayer. Honestly express personal concerns. Here's your next one. Remember, we're talking about petitions. This is your prayer request for you, your needs. We've already prayed for other people's needs prior. Life application, practical prayer. Honestly express personal needs that could, or concerns. Would be the blank. It could be your family. It could be your neighbors. It could be your vocation, your job. It could be whatever it is. And the Holy Spirit's going to show you what you have need of. Somebody says, the more we believe that God answers prayer, the more we believe that God answers prayer, the more time we will spend praying. What's the reverse of that? If I really don't believe that God answers prayer, why would I spend time praying? How's your prayer life? The Christian life is measured by the prayer life. When we're talking about this area here of honestly express personal concerns, listen to this, not in your notes. When I read through the Psalms, I was writing some things down, and I just put, it's interesting while reading through the Psalms how often David is making personal requests. Listen to what he says in some of these. He asked God, guide me. Anybody here need any guidance for decisions? What to do, how to do it. He asked the Lord, hear me. God, I want you to pay attention and give ear to my words. He says in another one, Lord, I need you to teach me. I want you to notice in every one of these Psalms that I'm referring to, he is always using me. He's not praying for somebody else. He's not praying for missionaries around the world. He's praying for David. Guide me, hear me, teach me. Lord, comfort me. Psalm 139, cleanse me. Guard me, revive me. Lord, search me. Do an internal investigation. I don't want to be imitation. I don't want to be plastic. I don't want to be propped up. I want to be sincere. I want to be genuine. That's what David's asking. Search me. If I don't want to play church. I was pastoring up in New Hampshire. My father-in-law was pastoring a church in Lisbon, New Hampshire. I was in a little town called Benton. Whopping population, 250 people in the mountains. 50 of those were in a nursing facility. Not a very big place. And then over across the way in the great state of Vermont was another pastor over there. Brother Gareth Tobin went to school actually with Althea's dad, and they knew each other. And a good man of God. Pretty good sized church for up there. Churches in the upper New England, up in the mountains, are very small. The one we had at Benton ran 72. Very strong core all the way through. But 72 out of 250 is not bad. So up there you look at percentages and not numbers. Garrett Tobin loved his church. He loved those people. They had the best programs going on around other churches. And up there, churches get around together for fall festivals, and you guys bring your singing groups, we'll bring ours, and just had good times of fellowships up there. You don't see that happen down here in the cities. But Gareth Tobin was a very sincere man and a very straightforward man, and there was a time where he told his people, we have the best programs, best choir, kids programs, Patch the Pirate. We got all this, we got that, and we all can become so caught up that that's who we are. We got this. He goes, but I don't like playing church. And he goes, and if you folks want to be all just playing church and not be truly changed and living for Christ when you're not here, he goes, just let me know because I won't stay around. I won't waste my time on people that are taking in, but nothing's being lived out. That's just how he was. And he did it in a way that was very kind. And you'd almost think that he was giving you a compliment. Good man. But folks, the Lord doesn't want us to just be taking in, putting these binders wherever they go at the end of the Wednesday night, and then come back and find out what else do we have to do. If we're not applying it, it is worthless. It is actually worthless. Look what he says here on the next page here. Voices from the past. This is Dr. David McIntyre. David McIntyre has a book out that's called The Hidden Life of Prayer. We Christians may ask our Father for all that we need, only let our desires be restrained and our prayers unselfish. The personal petitions contained in the Lord's Prayer are very modest. Daily bread, forgiveness, deliverance from sin's power. Yet these comprise all things that pertain to life and godliness. You have your prayer wheel. We're on number 7. We talked about beginning with praise, recognize God's nature. From that point on, we went on into waiting, having a time of silent soul surrender, to confession where there's temple cleansing taking place, to word-enriched prayer through scripture praying, to watching where you are develop a holy alertness of what the Lord wants you to pray about, to intercession, remembering the world or all those that are out there, kings and all that are in authority, on down, to petition tonight, which is share your own personal needs. The next page says where to next. And at the bottom there, or mid, about the second paragraph, a practical prayer summary, step number 7. It says, begin your petition by asking the Holy Spirit to help you claim only those desires that will bring honor to the Lord. Make a mental list of specific needs that you have for that very day. That's assuming you're going to do this tomorrow. And offer each need to God. Enlarge a petition carefully, taking time to explain to God why you desire an answer for a request. And then frequently examine your motives for claiming a petition. Be certain that they are pure in His sight. On the afterthoughts, he asks us to ponder something interesting here. Ponder why you think, I want you to think about this one here. Why you think God has ordained that His children need to ask for blessings when He easily could give us what we need without our asking. Is that true? Does God know what your needs are already tonight? He knows what your needs are going to be before they ever are in need. Correct? So do you think, since He already knows, don't you think that He could just meet that need if He wanted to without you ever praying? But why doesn't He? Huh? He wants to hear from us. To humble ourselves. You saying that we're kind of self-sufficient, self-dependent? Yeah. What else? Huh? We need Him.
Dependency.
How many of you, when you were children, were dependent upon your parents? God invites us. He says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. The closer you get, the closer I will get. The closer you get, the closer I will get. Our closeness depends upon how close we want to get. John the beloved was so close, he leaned back and laid his head on Jesus' chest. He could hear the Son of God's heartbeat. Are you that close tonight? Let me ask you this. Is there room, if the Bible says draw near to God, that means there must be room to scoot over some. And for whatever amount you decide to scoot over, a little bit or a lot, God, I like this, has a matching program. When I was working at the chemical company years ago, they encouraged you to put money in, and they had limits of what you could put in by how long you had been there. But you could put in $100 or whatever, that's an example. You put in $100 a month, they would match that with 50%. And then they guaranteed 10% on top of whatever you had in there. So you're making 60%. That's a good motivation, amen? But you had to put in before they would match that amount. And God is saying, you want me closer, but it's only in emergencies. Matter of fact, if you'd have been as close as you could be, you might not even be in this emergency. Ponder why you think God has ordained that his children need to ask for blessings when he easily could give us what we need without asking. Down at the bottom, ask God, here's your for tonight, ask God very specifically for something personal that you feel is clearly in line with his will. Anybody have some things come to your mind? Okay. Be as detailed as possible in asking for this specific need. In prayer, tell God what your basis is for believing this petition is in line with his will. Y'all understand what he just said there? I want you tonight to pray individually for your need. Okay, you with me on that? I want you to consider what we just read here. Bring that need to God. Don't just pray generic. Pray specific. Be clear. Know that what you're asking for is according to his will. If we know it's his will, then we know that he heareth us. This is the confidence, John says, that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So you could bring that passage of scripture and say, God, this is according to your will. This, you said that you would provide this, 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 and this. This is our need tonight. And I'm asking this according to your word. And by on your authority, I'm trusting what you said is true. And I want you to take, as you get ready to pray, write what your need is on your binder. Just jot it down. Doesn't have to be a big, long thing. Just jot whatever it may be. Only you know it. I'm starting to be one of them preachers that has a hanky. You know what it is. Actually, I just have a runny nose. Write it down. That is your evidence that this is what you're praying, that you're journaled. And then put today's date right next to it. Today is March 17th, 18th. Just checking on you guys. See, if you would have asked yesterday, you could have had a day head start on this thing, amen? March 18th, 2026, my need that I'm asking you, God, for today is this. With expectation, because it's your will, that I will have an answer date. So have the date today, asking date, and then answered date. And then next week, we'll check to see if anybody can say, Brother Heimer, God answered mine last week. I was in need of this, and this is how God answered it. Some of them may take a little longer to answer, but I want you to write it down for yourself as a testimony. God, I asked you on this day, this is according to your will. You said if I asked you, you would show me great and mighty things, so I'm looking to you with expectation. And I'm putting down the answered, but I don't have a date yet because you have to fill that in for me. If you're no respecter of persons and one man can have 53,000 plus recorded answers, I just want one here right now. Just one. Can you do that? Will you do that? Make an altar where you're at. We got about 9 minutes that you can take that request to God. When it looks like everybody's done, when you get done, please sit quietly so it doesn't interrupt anybody else, and then I'll close in prayer tonight.